You will no longer stand between me and my destiny.
But I will.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull!
Became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Welcome to another episode of I Have the Power, a He-Man podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Steven, or as I affectionately call him, Cringer, for this, the purpose of this podcast. Steven, how's it going?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Awesome. Last time we were together for this podcast, I believe we interviewed, we did an interview, right, with the director of Fall of Grayskull.
Yes, I can't remember if that came out before. Has that come out before the Master of the Universe review?
Who can remember? We do so many podcasts, but I remember the last one we recorded was that one. So
yes,
I'm not wrong in that respect. We're continuing that series of our look at that film because, as He-Man fans, we were aching for another Masters of the Universe film, and this film definitely gave us that, and it delivered in spades. And we're lucky enough to have a cast member from the film. We have Mercedes Varble, who played Tila, with us. Mercedes, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I never thought I'd say this. And if my younger self could imagine that I'm talking to Tila, he'd probably, I don't know, faint or something. But this is great. This is awesome. And me being named Adam, it kind of makes me allows me to pretend that I'm actually He-Man. So, which is something I did as a child, with complete with sword and toys and everything. But you know, so I'm living out a childhood dream here. But we're gonna get right into our questions for you. Steven, you want to go with the first question?
Yeah, we just wanted to know a little bit about your background and, like, you know, whatever you want to tell us, like, where you're from, who you are, all that sort of thing.
How you got started, the whole thing, yeah.
Okay. My name is Mercedes Varble. I'm 28. I just had a birthday in October.
Happy belated birthday.
Thanks. October 15th, the Ides of October.
Awesome. Oh, my God, your birthday's one day before mine.
Yay,
we were
twins.
Yeah.
I feel out of the loop. I'm in July now. I gotta wait.
It's okay. I love cancers too. That's fine. I'm from Owensboro, Kentucky, small town with lots of talent. You know, born here, raised here. I was a huge Power Rangers fan. I was a cartoon kid for sure.
Awesome.
However, I was born in 92, so I kind of missed the whole He-Man wave. But, you know, thanks to Daniel, I was able to, you know, have this opportunity to portray an awesome, awesome character. And, you know, my son, I've introduced him to Masters of the Universe. He's 9 now. But, you know, when he was younger, when we first filmed Fall of Grayskull, you know, he was little and he loved it. So, yeah, it's an awesome, awesome part of my life. So,
and he's lucky because he gets the new wave of toys that, you know,
I have those on my shelf, actually.
That are apparently really expensive to get, because I'm looking on Amazon and like, wait a minute, that price can't be right. Oh boy, yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad that that you got introduced to the property and your son gets to enjoy it and it had such an impression on you. So that brings me kind of to the next question: is how did you get involved with the Fall of Grayskull film? Like, how did that come about? How did that all go down?
So Daniel and I have been friends forever, probably since 2012. I first met him. I was actually performing at my local theater here called Theater Workshop of Owensboro. Shameless plug there. And he saw me in Dracula and, you know, asked if I wanted to film a horror film that he was working on. It was his first full-length feature film that he was, you know, going to submit to all the festivals, have a big premiere, the whole nine yards. And, you know, young 21-year-old me was like, yeah, absolutely, I will do this horror film with you. And so just from there, we stemmed this lifelong friendship. And so that's where, I mean, anytime he wants me to do, you know, any project that he's working on, I'm there. He's just an awesome, awesome person to work with, as well as his wife, Cassie. I mean, we're all just lifelong friends. So, yeah, that's kind of how that happened. So
when he brings up that, by the way, that's awesome. He actually spoke very highly of you as well. So, if you go back and listen to our show with him, you won't hear anything negative. It's all positive.
I was going to say, he didn't say that about you. I'd be like,
No.
We were saying we liked the film a lot because we felt like it was Teela's film as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just start and kiss up to the guest. You were the highlight of, and I mean this seriously. I'm not just saying it because you're here. You were the standout of the film for me, for sure.
Oh my gosh! Oh wow! Thank you so much. I'm honored. You know, it's weird going back and watching yourself on film. You know, critiquing. I'm my own worst critic, so I'm like critiquing everything I did. So you saying that is just. Wow, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
Don't worry about it, because I can't listen to myself. Like when I have to edit this thing, it's the little bit I can hear of myself, you know, the least amount I can hear of myself, the better. So it's just like, okay, fast forward that garbage. It's just means that whatever. And so, yeah, I totally understand that kind of, you know.
Critique. Yeah.
But so... when he mentions, like, how did he broach the subject of, okay, we're going to do this Master of the Universe, He-Man, like that, how does that go down? Because for somebody that's not into it, they're like, what is this? What are you talking about? Let's go. Like, how did that, do you remember how that came about? And what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, saying that I was born in 92 and I missed the He-Man wave. I mean, I knew about it and knew what it was. And I knew it was, you know, the TV show in the 80s and, you know, the whole entire toy line. But, you know, I was more of like a Power Rangers baby, you know, like
that. I love that both. So, yeah.
That was my era. You know, I was a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, you know, so.
Can't make me start singing now.
Please don't start singing, Steve.
But no, he, like, you know, like I said, we have like a super close relationship. Cassie, him, and me, like, we're like three peas in a pod. Like, we just have so much fun working together. So basically, he was just like, okay, I have a He-Man project I'm working on. I want you to play Teela, and I need you to get in shape. I'm like, okay, cool. Because, you know, in my mind, I envisioned the Teela from the cartoon, you know, the one where she'd be wearing like a one-piece, like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of bodysuit, like little gold embellishments, like, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, I was thinking, ooh, do I have to dye my hair red? And it's like, no. You will actually be Battleground Teela. She wears like a loincloth kind of and badass boots. Also, sorry if I if I'm not allowed to curse, but
no, that's fine. But yeah, that's fine.
I'm sorry. That A boots and you know, the whole look. I was like, all right, well, let's do this. I don't know if I can get as in shape as Brian Cage, who's, you know, professional wrestler and you know, the human embodiment of He-Man, but I'm like, I will try my best.
he's literally the toy come to life.
Yes.
Like when I saw it, I'm like, how the hell did he, is he that massive? And then I felt really inadequate looking at him. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's never going to be me. I'm Prince Adam before he puts the sword up. Then after that, it's I'm done.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. Awesome to work with. You know, he actually came back to Owensboro for a wrestling match. His, you know, wrestling crew was touring and they had a show in Owensboro. And, you know, I ran into him after like years. I hadn't seen him in years. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh my gosh, hey, tighten up. And I was like, what? And he picked me up and lifted me like over his shoulder. You know, like I was, he was like stiff as a board. And he took a picture with me, like, raised above his head. I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy.
he's ready for the sequel. He's like, all right. Yeah. Let's just pick right back up into it. And we were, just to be forewarned, we were bothering, we were suggesting to Daniel when he was on here that he should really make a sequel. And he said he has an idea, but he was hesitant because of the actual Sony Pictures movie that is supposed to be happening, but by the sounds of things, I don't think that's happening anymore. So next time you talk to him, tell him Adam says you can go ahead with the sequel because I don't think he's getting that movie. So go ahead.
I will absolutely mention that to him. I'd be ready to do it.
We pitched him the Shira Tila buddy cop movie, so I mean, go for it. That's awesome that you had a good experience working with Brian and that you were so ready to jump into that role, because I can imagine that'd be daunting to, when he tells you, okay, you're gonna put this like warrior outfit on, and you that's I would be intimidated to even. Like anything where I'm not covered, I'd be like, nobody wants to see that.
Oh yeah, I mean, in between takes, I was like doing jump rope, doing push ups, doing whatever I could to like look somewhat in shape, or at least a little bit more in shape than I was at the time. So
you pulled off the badass look really well. So,
thanks.
Two thumbs up.
Were you glad it was on green screen then? Because like you weren't outdoors and you weren't cold or anything, or?
So filming with the green screen was really cool because, you know, I didn't realize this, but if you have green anywhere in your costume, it's off like some sort of green vibe or whatever. You have to film with blue screen, and so when we filmed scenes with Johnny Bielsen, who played Triclops, and you know, his costume is green, and huge shout out to Johnny. He made so many props and costumes for the movie. He's amazing, seriously. But we had to film with blue screen there, and you know, luckily we filmed everything indoors. Oh, it wasn't too cold with the costume, so you know. But yeah, it was
challenging then? Because I know I've seen on, there's some clips, isn't there, of you guys like filming and stuff, which then the outtakes and that. And it doesn't look like that big of a space to me. I don't know if it was bigger than it looked on there, but I was like, was that quite challenging to do? And or were you all right with it because it was like Daniel's problem?
Yeah, actually, we filmed Jam Pack one weekend because we knew we could only get Brian, you know, one weekend, just due to scheduling and everything. Yeah. So We film most of his scenes with him, actually all of them, in one weekend, you know, and we filmed at Theater Workshop. We had quite a bit of space to work with. It really wasn't that bad. And then the second weekend, we filmed a few weekends later, and we filmed in a gym. It's like a theater type gym at Owensboro Public Schools. So, it was a little challenging just because, you know, we had like the fake dirt, the fake sweat, and everything, and it's like we couldn't get that on the cloth, the material, or it wouldn't look right. But it was a challenge, but it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool experience. 10 out of 10 would do it again.
good, because I have some suggestions for later on, so maybe you'll be up for those. I mean, not that I have any power, but, you know, pretending that I have the power. In my own mind, yes, I do, but then the real world, you know, it kicks me back down to where I am. But so you said like it was challenging, and I know he mentioned the green screen and the blue screen or whatever color he ended up using was like the headache for him, you know, the most headache. But what was the most enjoyable aspect of making the Fall of Grayskull film?
I really enjoyed getting to know the rest of my fellow actors and the crew, the cast. Everyone was like just as serious as I was about it, and we really did have a lot of fun. I mean, as you can see from the outtakes, where, you know, we are just like cracking up, and it was just really enjoyable doing something that you love with other people who also love it and believe in what you're doing, and like supporting each other. That was probably the best thing for me. And, you know, it just opened up a whole new fan base for me. You know, I got so many new followers on Twitter. I got to see myself up on the big screen, and, you know, it was just such an awesome experience for me. You know, being born and raised in a small town like Owensboro, Kentucky, you know, you don't get many opportunities, or rather I didn't, because I mean, like right after high school, you know, I had my child, he's 9 now, but, you know, I was just kind of in Owensboro, and I'd always wanted to be an actress my whole life. And so an opportunity like this, just, it was just awesome, you know, getting to learn from others in the business, you know, learning the fight choreography and training from Johnny, learning some acting tips from Brian Cage, and, you know, just working with Daniel and Cassie is always a blast in my book. We always have fun together, so.
That's awesome, and I wish I would have seen it. I could have gotten the opportunity to have seen it on the big screen. That would have been so cool.
Because it's funny because we didn't know about the comic either, did we? Because until Daniel came on.
Yeah, and then we looked like total morons because we had... Well, sorry. let me rephrase. I look like a moron because I'm like, you know, the movie was great and I loved it, and, you know, I'm heaping all this praise on him. And then I'm like, but there was one thing that I wish you'd put in that I know, understand budgetary and all that, but where was Battle Cat? And he's like, in the comic. I'm like, comic? I'm like, damn, I'm a moron. But yeah. Yeah, it was great, and I told Daniel this, and I'll tell you what I liked about it was that the look and the aesthetic of the film, it reminded me of, have you seen the movie 300?
I have not seen it all the way through, but I know what you're talking about with Gerard Butler.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It had that kind of, like a similar kind of look to it.
Yeah. And I'm
like, that's actually perfect for Masters of the Universe. Like, if they ever do, you know, an actual big budget movie again, while I'm still young enough to be able to comprehend what I'm watching, I think that would be a good avenue to take it. So I was really taken by that. So yeah, it was great.
Absolutely. It just, it felt so gritty and dirty and like, you know, from personal experience, like I was covered in, you know, fake sweat, fake dirt, fake grime. And it was just, it was
fun. What is fake sweat? What is actually fake sweat then?
Well, the special effects artists, I think they used like some mixture of like baby oil and like brown. I don't know exactly what she used.
All right, but, okay.
Like, brown stuff sprinkled in there, and she just like sprayed me because you know it. The story takes the movie takes place right at the climax. Like we just fought this big hard battle, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and the comic book, like, that was surreal, too, just seeing my face in a, well, I thought it was my face, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it did definitely look like it. Yeah,
The comic looked fantastic as well, yeah.
I loved it, yeah. It was such a neat concept, you know, just having that backstory there in the form of a comic book. So, yeah.
It was so cool. And then, like, the only thing I wish I had known about it before we actually interviewed
Daniel. Because
where was Valakai? He's like, in the comic. I'm like, oh, okay. Never mind. carry on with the next question.
Well, we've mentioned to Daniel, haven't we, about possibly doing a commentary on.
Revisiting the
film. Maybe if you're free as well, maybe we could line up some time and. Do a commentary on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, Mercedes, you shouldn't have said you're a Power Rangers fan because now I'm going to try and get you on our Power Rangers podcast. Talk Power Rangers.
Yes. Did absolutely. You like, Kimberly is my girl. Kimberly, Pink Ranger, all day, every day. Yes.
You know how I knew that she was cool and that we had to have her on the show. Apart from the fact that she actually played Teela, but I remember. I think I posted a GIF of Amy Jo Johnson for whatever reason, and then Mercedes fired back with a GIF of Tommy, and I'm like, all right. She's cool. She's off.
Tommy and Kimberly forever. I don't even know. Like, Kat, no, she can get out.
Well, Kimberly was one of my first crushes as a youngster.
Yeah, I've already admitted that, so I'm no shame. No shame whatsoever. But yeah, so we're definitely going to try and work you like. As long as you enjoy this experience, we'll try and have you back.
Absolutely. I've been like dying to get with you all. Like, I don't remember how long we've been trying to talk, but I'm just happy it's finally happened.
I think it's late summer. Basically, as soon as I saw the movie, I'm like, okay, we have to get the director on, and as long as we can get Teela in here, where I'm good. Like if those are the only two that I can interview, then I'm happy. but before the next question, I just want to. I hope I'm not overstepping, but because I follow you on Instagram and you mentioned your son, I saw his Halloween costume, the Joker costume.
Yes,
that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Did you make that? How did that?
Yeah, I hand-stitched everything. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I thought you were serious. You should have lied to us and just said, yeah.
My rusty, trusty friend, Amazon. thank you, Jeff Bezos. I found, you know, the green button-up shirt and the yellow vest and this awesome red suit on Amazon, and you know he expressed to me, he's like, I want to be Joker for Halloween. I was like, which one? He's like, this one. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there's not many.
Scariest one, the one, the most violent one. Sure,
no, Halloween is our thing. Like whatever he wants to be for Halloween, I don't know if you scrolled that far, but like last year, or it might have been the year before.
I'm going to have a nosy now.
he was Nacho Libre. We made that costume. Yeah, yeah. We do it.
I am obsessed with Halloween. It's my favorite time of year. So,
yeah.
Mine is Christmas, but that's just me.
I love Christmas too, but yeah, but Halloween's the best time.
I do love Christmas also. I love all the holidays really. But
I mean, Halloween was the excuse for me to be a superhero, which was always nice.
I'm just found natural Libra. That
was brilliant. Yeah, it was funny. And I noticed, I have to ask because I know you mentioned it a lot on Instagram. Does your son like the X-Men?
He loves X-Men now. We are actually watching all of the X-Men movies all the ones that are on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's getting really, really into the X-Men. You know, he says all the time, he's like, I want to be Wolverine because I don't want to die. I'm like, aw. that's a little morbid, but okay. Yeah. You know, and
don't let him watch Logan, then he'll be disappointed.
Oh god. I still haven't watched that one, you know. I need to get one. I've just seen you dressed as the Ultimate Warrior as well. That's cool.
Oh, I haven't scrolled down that far. Now I'm not gonna know the Instagram too.
I don't go on Instagram much. I've got it, but I don't really use it, so I don't see a lot.
Well, thanks for promoting our podcast on there, Steve.
I do it on Twitter. I've got loads of followers.
Mercedes can take over. I'm kidding.
But yeah, so what other like superhero or geek stuff are you into? Are you, apart from Power Rangers and, well, He-Man later, obviously, but Power Rangers and...
Oh, gosh. I love Sailor Moon. I used to watch Dragon Ball Z. I was heavily into, like, Dragon Ball
Z. Yeah, I used to love that.
Pokemon. I mean, okay, let me clarify. I love, like, the classic Pokemon, but any of the newer Pokemon that they come out with, I'm like, what is that? Who is that? No. Like, give me Ninetales and we're good. Like, you know, like, that's my favorite Pokemon. I remember really, really being into Pokemon as a kid. Me and my cousin Jonathan Howard, we would battle and, you know, take each other's cards and everything. Like, it was the real deal.
I missed that, like, Pokemon phase. So when everyone were into it at school, because
I totally missed that.
I didn't really. I mean, I used to like the artwork on the cartoons. I thought it was classic anime and stuff, but I was like, I never really understood, like, people were like, we're playing Pokemon. I didn't really get, what did you have to do to win? Was it one of those strategy games or something, like, where you've got points and cards and all that?
That was my jam when I was younger. Xavier's getting into Naruto Naruto. I don't know how to pronounce that, but those were really my big things. You know, I love, like, old toys, like Daniel, he's, you know, obviously he's a wizard at all of that, but, you know, I remember playing like Sky Dancers and Barbies, like, you know, that kind of stuff as a kid. So, yeah.
So, okay, let me I'll rephrase the question. And okay, actually, here comes with a little bit of background. So if I was, let's say if I was a producer that had any sway whatsoever,
okay.
which I don't, unfortunately, unless Daniel wants to bring me along and I can get in there, and then we'll
figure it out. You haven't even got much sway on our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I just pretend to be the boss, but I'm not. But if I did have, like, the power, not to, pun intended, kind of, I would definitely cast you in a Power Rangers reboot as the Pink Ranger. So that's one that I would do.
I do not deserve that honor. First of all, I do not do gymnastics like Amy Jo Johnson.
I still like to see you as a Power Ranger. So if I'm the producer, I'm telling you it's happening.
Okay, well, thank you. I would wear it with pride, but I no disrespect to Amy Jo Johnson at
all. Of course not. Yeah, of course not. And then
you can be the 2021 version. The reboot.
That doesn't happen. Yeah, for sure. We can rewrite the story so you don't have to do gymnastics.
Yeah, we'll swap the roles around so like the Blue Ranger can be a gymnastic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with updating the mythology. Yeah, and then on the DC side of things, because I'm a huge DC Comics fan.
Okay.
And this is because she's only been done once, so I'd like to see somebody else do it. And I'd like to see you play a bit of a villain. Mm-hmm. I'd cast you as Poison Ivy.
Oh, wow. That's an honor. I grew up, I will say, okay, pause. I did grow up with all of those movies as well.
Okay, don't tell me you love Batman and Robin. Please don't ruin it. Please don't say it.
Uma Thurman's portrayal of that character was great.
She's the best thing in that film, actually.
That would be so much fun. You know, there is something to playing a villain that I kind of really enjoy. You know, I've done the local theater's rendition of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe the last couple of years.
Ooh.
And I've gotten to play the White Witch.
All right.
That's cool.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was like the first and only time I think I'd ever been a villain. I've done plays and, you know, I played Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feed Miss Seymour.
Yes. That's my favorite. And, you know, I've played, in Daniel's latest film, The Bloody Man, I played an 80s character named Bonnie. That was a lot of fun. I think that would be a lot of fun to play a villain for once. I mean,
so you're totally down with playing a villain. That's who you're. Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
And the other thing that I would get you and Daniel to work on, again, if I was the producer of all things, would be the next iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because I'm a fan of that. And
okay.
Kind of lines up with, you know, Daniel's horror leanings, and it kind of fits in there. So you'd be the next iteration of the Slayer. I don't know if you'd be Buffy, but whoever the next Slayer would be is something that I think you'd be awesome at. And that's partly because, again, you kicked a lot of ass as Tila. So I'm like, all right.
I was going to say.
Thanks. Oh, wow. Those are such high compliments and such awesome characters. I would love to play them. I really enjoy filming like horror films. There's just something about, you know, the gritty, the emotion, the blood.
I was going to bring that up next, funnily enough. That was going to be my next question, yes. I love horror. Is my favorite genre. Like, other than superheroes, it's horror. I just absolutely love it. Me and my brother met films as well. We're independent filmmakers, so we've done a couple of horror films, and they're just always so. They're not when people watch them and get scared. They're not like that. Other when you film them, it's like the most fun, like, experience you can have. I think making a horror film.
Yeah. There's just something to making horror films. It's just, I don't know. I like it. It was a lot of fun for me. I mean, that was my very first film, was Bunny with Daniel. And I mean, it was just such a cool concept. And we had a blast making that film as well. So
yeah, I've seen trailer for it. How do you actually watch the film? And is it not come out yet? Or is it one of those where you've got to like buy it? Or I don't mind buying it, like, but I've not seen it. I've been following on YouTube. I've seen the trailer and stuff. We talked to Daniel about it, but how do you actually get to watch it?
I think you can watch it on, you can order it from Amazon, and I think you can, let me try real quick. Bunny.
That was.
Maybe not. I know on redserial.com, I feel like you can buy it, or you can reach out to Daniel and ask to buy a copy. And it's Bunny with an I.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah, see, you've got an avenue, Steven. You can always say that. But hit up Daniel on Instagram. He's easier to get a hold of there than
yeah, because on Twitter, I messaged him and he said he never checks Twitter, but he happened to check it that day, and then he found out that I messaged him asking if it was...
The day we asked him to interview, if he wanted to come on, is like, just, he happened to check Twitter that day and he saw our message and he's like, all right, sure. So that was lucky. But yeah, is there anything you want to ask Stephen about Bloody? I know you wanted to ask something specific about Bloody Man. So.
Oh, I just wanted to ask you about like what horror films are you into, and specifically with the Bloody Man as well. I noticed there's kind of like, looks like there's obviously going to be some gore in it because it's the Bloody Man. Did you have to work a lot with like blood and stuff, and how was that? And
oh, absolutely, that was in my contract. I wasn't going to work if I didn't have some blood. No, yeah, definitely a lot of blood, and you know, the Bloody Man was different in the sense that, you know, we worked with mostly kids. You know, my stepson Davey, he played the lead character, and he. Just, I mean, I swear, this film, we worked so hard on it, like, all summer, and it just was so amazing to see how it turned out on the big screen. Of course, you know, pandemic times, we had to get, like, the whole theater just to social distance everyone out, but ultimately, it was an excellent experience, and it, you know, brightened everyone's day. You know, in the middle of this pandemic, just to see our hard work up on the screen. I mean, the quality was just, I'm still over the moon about the Bloody Man and how well it turned out. It was just amazing. It was so interesting working with all the kids too. I mean, I unashamedly, you know, I have the mouth of a sailor sometimes. So, you know,
it's all good.
You know, like working with the around adults, you know, we can talk about whatever, we could say whatever, and you know, not that we're, you know, just going around cussing all the time, but
right.
You know, but these kids, you know, they're so talented and they took it so seriously and they really turned it out. They did. I mean, my gosh, like I just wanted to cry, you know, when, you know, little Amy was, you know, going through her trouble. I'm trying not to give away anything, but it's just,
yeah,
it was just such a cute, awesome, awesome film. And it showed the true strength of a family and how like families can really overcome anything. It had a really, really positive message there. So,
yeah,
which is a great message, I think, especially nowadays with what everybody's going through around the world. So it's a good message to be putting out there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it did feel like a quintessential feel-good 80s movie.
I love the 80s.
Yes. No, I mean, like, we got, like, the special cars. We made sure that everything was as 80s as possible, you know, and it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. It's anything from the. If I could just live in a decade, I live in the 80s. I was born in 84, so I didn't get to see.
Yeah, it would have but... after, you know, after we were born. You know, I mean, if we're time traveling, it would have to be.
Hey, I'd go right back to 1980 and do the full decade, mate.
All right, well, you just have to be careful because you could damage the timeline, right? You don't want to be like very don't screw anything up, because if you screw something up for me, I'm all no, but it's yeah, it was I just like hearing that you and Daniel have such a great friendship and then working relationship. It's really it's really nice to hear. And it just seems like whenever you guys get together, you put out some awesome work. So I
thank you.
And again, I can't say enough about, because I remember when you guys were doing, I think he was doing like the premiere of the Fall of Grayskull. I had it on my radar, because you know, if something regarding He-Man pops up, I usually you see it, and then things happened, and it kind of slipped my radar, and then for whatever reason, like recently, I was on YouTube just screwing around, and mm-hmm. that it came up, and I watched it, and I'm like, how did I miss this? Like, how did I not? How did I not? And I was floored by it. I'm like, this is fantastic. I'm like, and right away I sent it to Steven. I'm like, you got to watch this. This is the movie we've been waiting for, a movie like this. And then he's like, oh yeah, that was great. And then so it was just, as a fan of this property, I said it to Daniel, and I'll say it to you, thank you for giving fans of these characters something to enjoy and a representation of these characters that was honest and that was respectful and just showed how awesome these characters are. And it hit at a time when I needed, like, we nowadays, like, you turn on the TV and it's all, you know, pandemic this, Trump that. So it's like I needed something to, like, distract me and you know, really, like, get out of this funk, and that really pulled me out. So thanks for being a part of the film, and thanks for bringing it to life. And like I said, if Daniel does more, if he needs to do like a Kickstarter or whatever, let us know, and we'll any way we can help, we're there. So but beyond that, what's next for you, acting wise? Anything on the horizon?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for that extremely high compliment. You know, I did genuinely want to do the whole franchise justice. You know, I know how in the TV cartoons, you know, she's like, where's Adam? And, you know, they're concerned and kind of serious. And that's really what I wanted to portray. So to hear you say that, you know, we did it justice, like, that's a huge, huge honor. So thank you very much. And also, I have to give a huge shout out to Daniel and Cassie for this opportunity. I mean, it has seriously changed my life. I mean, my face premiered in Hollywood. My face premiered in Germany. Like, I mean, how many other people can say that? You know, yeah. I'm extremely, extremely grateful for our friendship and, you know, everything that they've done for me. But what's next, acting wise, I actually don't have anything on my radar coming up. I know that we were doing promotion for The Bloody Man a lot, and I know that, you know, we're working on getting that distributed. But other than that, you know, pandemic and everything, it's making me kind of nervous about doing any, like, local theater or anything like that. So I'm just really kind of playing it by ear at this point. You know, I'm just working and momming.
those are two important jobs. So whatever you do, whether it's with Daniel or separate from Daniel, just if there's anything you want to promote, let us know, and we'll help you out in any way we can. Like I said, next time you talk to Daniel, just tell them that Masters of the Universe follow up that he wanted to do is definitely something that's anticipated. And since you're game to get back into the armor, I say let's do it, definitely. But Steven, is there anything else you wanted to ask Mercedes before we
I'm just thinking about just going back to the horrors. Like, are you actually into horror films? Then do you like out of the scare you are? Do you like watching them? Basically, not. Is there any like favorites or anything?
So I am kind of a weenie. So I grew up in like a Catholic community, and you know, I went to Catholic schools all throughout elementary and high school. I graduated from Whitesville Trinity High School, and so we learned a lot about possessions, and well, maybe not a lot, but we did talk about that. So yeah, I will not watch anything that has to do with demons and demonic possessions and the devil. I mean, maybe one day I'll work myself up to it. Like, I can't even watch like from the 70s with like where it's obviously pea soup coming out of her mouth. Like, I'm like, no, I can't, you know, I live by myself with a 9-year-old, and if anything goes down,
I know what you mean. Like, your mind plays tricks on it as well. And Have you seen that film Host? Have you seen that one?
What's the film? I'm sorry.
It's called Host. It was all filmed on Zoom.
No, I have not seen that.
Right. I'm not scared of horror films, but that scared the crap out of me, and I don't get scared, so maybe don't watch that one on your own.
Well, I'm more of like a classic horror film kind of gal. You know, the Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Oh yeah, that 80s is my jam. Yeah,
I'm even more classic than that. I do the Universal Monsters, and that's where I that's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm out.
My favorite Buffy, horror film is Halloween. Buffy. Yeah, well, you like Buffy, don't you?
Of course. Yeah. Another crush of mine that I had when I was a kid. Yeah, it's like Pink Ranger and Buffy. Where do we go here?
See, I tend to like horror like that the slasher, like Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees, and they never scared me. I just thought they were cool as a kid, so I think that's why I like horror, that kind of horror. So whereas ghosts and stuff, I don't believe in ghosts either. I'm really skeptical, so when I watch anything with a ghost in it, I'm just like, yeah, you know.
Well, that's why you're not a Ghostbusters fan. All right.
I do like Ghostbusters the film. It's all right. Yeah, it's pretty decent.
I love it. It's what? All right, Mercedes, settle it. Ghostbusters, good or not?
Oh yeah, that too. My son right. and I.
There you go. See.
Ghostbusters.
You've been outvoted, Steven. Two strikes.
Well, my 4-year-old son, absolutely, he just wants the Ghostbusters song on all the time. Constantly.
Oh, yes. Xavier, when he was around that age, like, he discovered Ghostbusters, and I took him to see the female Ghostbusters in the movie theater, and he was obsessed with it.
Awesome.
You know, when Leslie Jones was getting all that flack and just people being horrible to her on the internet, saying extremely racist things to her.
Oh yeah.
So
there's just no need. If you don't like a film, just don't like, you don't have to be like mean about it and stuff, do you? You know? There's a new Ghostbusters film coming out, actually. I didn't know if you knew.
Ooh, a new Ghostbusters song.
It's what's Ghostbusters Afterlife. They're basically bringing
back the Ghostbusters film. Yes. With like Finn Wolfhard and Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's in it. That's it. Yeah, and the lad from Stranger Things. Yeah, that you said.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that. I mean, of course, we have no choice but to wait for it because But
thanks, COVID.
When it does come out, well, I mean, in terms of the movie calendar, they've messed up everything I wanted to see. But anyway, I'll wait for it. There's more important things that have to be dealt with first.
Yeah,
right.
But I am excited to whenever way that we could see it, however we, you know, however that is, whether it be in a theater or streaming, I'll be there for it when it drops. However it drops, Now, before we do our sign off, I have to ask you, because you mentioned being around and growing up with the late 80s, early 90s Batman movies. So I'm going to ask you a question now. two questions. Favorite Batman movie and favorite Batman?
Batman Returns and Michael Keaton.
Ooh, that's good. I mean,
she keeps getting perfect, more perfect. Okay?
I mean, I love Tim Burton, anything Tim Burton. That's my jam. I really loved Michelle Pfeiffer's portrayal yes. of
Catwoman. Perfect.
Oh, it was so perfect. And, you know, Danny DeVito, I love everything he does. But no, I was having a discussion with Kathy's brother, Kevin Clark, and he's a huge Batman fan as well. He's, you know, the bat guy in my life. But he actually had a great analogy. He said, George Clooney, I think I'm getting this right, and sorry, Kevin, if I'm butchering this, but he said, George Clooney is an excellent Batman, not a great Bruce Wayne. Val Kilmer, excellent Bruce Wayne, not a great Batman. But Michael Keaton is the whole nine yards.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and I stand by that.
and he's coming back, which is...
Yes.
In the Flash movie, which I mean, I'll be honest with you, because I saw that movie when I was six. It was the first movie I remember seeing in a theater. So... when I see him back in that costume or a variation of that costume, I will probably regress into a six-year-old in the theater. So God help anybody who's sitting beside me. It's not going to be pretty for you. It'll be fun for me, but not for anybody else.
I'll be telling you to shut up.
Probably, but people do that anyway.
Be sure to bring tissues with you.
Yeah, I may start crying. That's not a joke.
When I watched the reboot of the Power Rangers movie, the newest Power Rangers movie, like my cousin Jonathan and I, who I grew up with, we audibly gasped when we saw like Amy Jo Johnson, Jason David Frank. Them in like the one of the fight scenes like towards the end, and you could just see a clip of them. It's like,
yeah,
oh my gosh. So yeah, totally understand that sentiment.
it's funny that you mentioned Power Rangers, because my niece, who is three, and she's getting into it now. Like, she's watching it on Netflix, and you know, I got a phone call the other day from my sister saying, your niece wants a Power Rangers toy for Christmas.
Yes.
I'm like, which one? I assumed wrongly. I said, well, she wants the pink one, right? And she's like, no, she wants red. And I'm like, which one? There's like 1,000. So it was this whole process of me showing different pictures, saying, is it this one? Is it? And she pointed out, she gave me, you know, 3 years old, give me options. Okay. This one first, like, she put it in order. This one, and I'm like, if they don't have that one, then this one. And so she gave me like a list of the different red. So I bought it. And as I'm scrolling through Amazon, because it's a disease that I have, I saw the original 93, you know, Red Ranger, the action figure. And I'm like, well, crap, I got to get one for myself. So they hooked me, and I'm like, all right, I'm back in. Just when I thought I was done, they pulled me back in.
And yep.
Now I saw, which I'm going to probably get as soon as we sign off this podcast, I'm not into Funko Pops, but they do have a He-Man Cat Funko Pop. Huh? And I'm like, damn it, I need that.
Yeah,
I love Funkos.
No, but I've never got one, and I'm afraid that once I pull the trigger on that, it's over.
I've got three Smallville ones. I've got a Superman, a Flash, a reverse Flash, and I've got a Michael Myers and a Jason as well.
You know, and all these ones you referenced, and I wanted to hear Batman, so you're anti-Batman.
No. My oldest son said to me, who was four, he said, I'm going to get you a Batman for Christmas, sir.
Good for him.
He says, I need a Batman. So I'll be getting a Batman.
I think he's going to take over your
job. You know me, Adam. I love Batman, but I'm a Superman guy, so I've got to go.
I know. I am too. Batman was the first character I saw from DC.
So. Well, mine was Superman, so maybe if I'd have seen Batman first, who knows. But
there he goes. But hey, we unite 100% in He-Man, so that's the important
thing. We do.
But, you know, speaking of Superman, when I was born, and I don't know much about comics. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. But my father, when I was born, he bought the comic where Superman dies with the bloody S.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's still in the original, like, black bag.
Oh my God.
That he bought it in.
And you have that?
The S on it. So, yeah.
And you have that?
Do I?
Man. Don't open that thing for anything.
Nope. I won't.
Unless you have to put food on your table and selling it is the only way you can feed yourself and your child, then do it. But
is it actually worth some, Adam? Because I remember loads of people bought them back in there, didn't they? So I didn't know
It's got to be in the bag.
But not opened.
Yes.
Not
like
Once you open it, you're screwed.
Yeah, have you got it somewhere you can take a picture of it?
Maybe. I'll have to ask my dad where it is because it's at my parents' house.
Oh, but... Don't worry.
No. Like, my dad is extremely nostalgic. I mean,
that's awesome.
I'll have to interview a dad.
Yeah, well, interview your dad.
Now, he's more of a sports guy. He has, like, Michael Jordan commemorative basketball plates. He had the original NBA lineup of the Team USA with Michael Jordan and all those guys. But yeah, he's
like a sat on a gold mine.
Yeah. No, he's a sports guru. He really is.
Me being in Canada, I'm a hockey guy, so you know.
I'm very, a football.
It's stereotypical.
Yeah.
But it is.
Gotcha. What kind of football?
you mentioned swearing like a trucker. That's me when I watch hockey. Like I like to think I'm pretty nice every other day of the year. But when my team's playing and not winning, it's like I turn into the Hulk. and it's like you don't want to be around me for 2.5 hours. Well, that game is on television, so yeah, I totally get it. But
yeah,
thank you so much for joining us, Mercedes. This was a blast.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having me. This was awesome. Fun. So glad to talk to you.
We hope we can get you back at some point for the commentary for the Fall of Grayskull and for a Power Rangers discussion as well at some point.
Absolutely, yeah.
But in the meantime, if people want to follow your exploits, your whatever you're doing next, where can they do that?
So I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Mer, M-E-R, Lee, L-E-I-G-H, V as in Victor. I'm on Instagram under Mercedes Marble. So
the bizarro version of your name, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mercedes with a Z, Marble with a V. So.
Awesome. So follow her. She's pretty awesome, and she may respond to Power Rangers discussion. So there it is. And then Steven, if people want to talk to you about anything, where can they?
I'm on Twitter at SteveBob1984, and the page for the network is at MMNPDC.
And then, thank you for remembering that, because I never do. even though I update it with links to the podcast, but you know, it is what it is. But if you guys do want to follow me on my personal Twitter, it's Adam_LeafsFan. Or if Facebook is more your speed, we have the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network Facebook page. Ask for permission to join the group, and I will add you, and we can discuss anything regarding any nerd podcasting I do, which is there's a list of different podcasts I have. I lost count of how many things I talk about, but they're all there, and I'm happy to talk about all of them with you. But until then, we hope you enjoyed this interview. We certainly did. And we hope that until next time, you remember that we all have the power and that the Masters of the Universe are forever, from the first time they battled Skeletor and his evil forces to the last. So long, everybody.
Skeletor. It's over.
Yes. For you.
By the power of Grayskull.